there was a sister in Abilene that when that song was sung, she would have to get up and walk out because of the richness of the song. It caused her deep sorrow at times to sing that great song. And as I was thinking about those words in every single verse, and Brother Braswell, thank you for leading us in all six verses, because we got the whole meaning of the song. What a blessing it is to know that when we come together, the tie definitely binds us together. It's because of Christ that we have that great binding. And that's really what I want us to talk about tonight for a few minutes of your time. It's always good to be back. It's good to see this number back tonight, and just to know that we have fellowship one with another. The joy that we have as being children of God. I'm reminded of a great passage in the Old Testament when someone was asked about their brother, and that man had the audacity to ask God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You think about that, and you think about the fellowship that we have as children of God. And I'm reminded of some of the greatest growth that I have encountered in my personal life is because of fellowship and accountability. When we consider the growth that God desires for us to have, it is going to come forth from fellowship and accountability. Both of those require love. Love for God. Love for the truth. Love for the church, love for self. And when we consider those things, I want us to take in account some of the things that God's Word has to say about fellowship. When we think about fellowship, I want us to consider environment, surroundings, the company we keep. All of these things are vital when it comes to our spiritual growth. Bible teaches us in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18 to grow in the grace. When we consider growing, we are considering maturing. These things require fellowship, number one, with God. Friends, before I can truly bask in the fellowship with you, I first have to bask in the fellowship with God. I first have to know that my relationship with God is intact. Through proper prayer and lifestyle and His Word, the adherence to the commandments of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But I love what He also had to say, "You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say." You know, it's one thing to be a friend of man, but it's another thing to be a friend of God. And when we're a friend of Jesus Christ, we are a friend of the Father. What a blessing it is. But it is impossible to mature in Christ without having fellowship with God, without His Word, without His family. In fellowship with God, we have full joy. As I made mention on this morning, when we consider the joy that God desires for us to have, there's no way to have joy without the Word. And every time, and I've looked at this in the scriptures, and it's amazing to find out that when one has joy, it is because of what has been written. We have great joy because of what God has left us in His writings. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. If you will go there with me, here we see that we can have great joy and fellowship because of the apostolic testimony of the apostles. Because they saw our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They handled the word of life. But verse 3 and verse number 4, you'll find these great words of encouragement for us to consider. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, in order that you may have fellowship with us." That's with the apostles. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." I considered that as I was crafting this lesson on this week, and I was thinking, great joy comes from that which is written. And we know that we can trust the apostles because they were there. They wrote it down. And because they wrote it down, friends, we can have great joy in that. Which means that a person can read about the evidence found in the Word of God, and they can have joy because they know that those men were there. They saw him. They handled him. They heard him. Because of that, we can have great joy. We can have great joy, and we can have great fellowship. But fellowship with those who are in fellowship with God has great benefits, has great encouragement, and we receive great encouragement from God. Turn two books back to the book of Jude. I want us to notice verse 20. Jude, which is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and in this one chapter, it's just packed with richness. But I want us to notice verse number 20. Here we see an encouragement to maintain fellowship and to maintain maturity. But you, beloved, notice that term of endearment, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, notice the phrase, building yourselves up. The idea there is the idea of putting one brick on top of another. It's the building up of a house. Here, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, is exhorting the brethren to continue to build up one another on their most holy faith, to build their house. Here, I found these particular things as it relates to the building blocks of faith. Here, we ought to be a people who are erecting a building, to restore a building, to rebuild or to repair a building. When we consider this particular word, here we see the building who is experiencing great beauty because of one another, encouraging one another in the faith and on the faith. The word building up also has this idea. Consider. It means to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness. Now, friends, when we consider fellowship and we consider the beauty of the oneness that we have in Christ, having the same mind, Philippians 2, 1 through 4, aren't there great benefits when we come together and we can encourage one another to be holy? Encourage one another in their virtue with great affection in Christian wisdom. This is why when we come together, not just on the first day of the week, and this sermon here is designed to encourage us as members of the Lord's Church here at 9th and Main to step outside of the building and invite individuals, your fellow brethren, to your homes. Encourage one another. Use the Word of God. Talk about family. Talk about life. Some of the greatest concepts that I have ever learned as it relates to the Scriptures were Friday night devotionals in San Antonio, Texas, when we went there at 7 p.m. and we didn't leave their house till almost 2 in the morning. Fellowship. Great fellowship. Great learning. I remember some of the greatest conversations was because we sat there, we had a great meal, we built one another up, we disagreed with one another, we cracked open the Bible, and next thing you know, we're having prayer, and we're leaving. Y'all remember those days? Those are great days, friends. We could never, or we can never be too busy to spend time with one another, to build up one another, brick by brick. Precious life by precious life. Precious soul by precious soul. Then we leave the fellowship, listen to this, with one another, challenging one another to move closer to God through repentance and evaluation of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'll be honest with you. There were some times in which Brother Starks, he'll be here on our summer series. We would have some arguments based upon the scriptures. And I would say, no, you're wrong. And then we'll show the passages. And the next thing you know, it's 2:30 in the morning. I said, Brother Starks, I came home and I looked at what you were saying. Yeah, you was right. All because he was willing to challenge me. Friends, I know that we live in a society where we don't like to be challenged. And I look at Romans 12, verse 2 and 3 now in a broader way. This way. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Consider that point. We live in a time frame where people don't like to be challenged. We live in a time frame now where people don't want you to go against what they think. But hold on, what if what I'm thinking in Christ is not in fellowship with God? Then I need someone who loves me to hold me accountable. And I've noticed this in the scriptures. If a person desires to have fellowship with God, they have to accept the accountability that comes with it. They have to. You cannot have fellowship with God without accountability, because those whom God loves, he chastens. He corrects. That's a beautiful concept, which teaches us that God says, I love you so much that I want to be in fellowship with you. You already know I'm always right. That's God now. But since you are not always right, I need you to be able to handle my correction, because you know that I do it for your benefit. Because I love you. And because we want that fellowship with God, we accept the chastisement. We accept the correction. The Hebrews writer says that when a father chastens his son, he does it for his benefit. That's the father. But when God chastens his son, he does it for his benefit. That's the son. That is so encouraging. That everything that God does for us in fellowship is for our benefit, which brings us to the definition of fellowship. The definition of fellowship is this: communion, joint participation, social intercourse, intimacy, a collection, a contribution, a gift, jointly contributed. Fellowship in the Bible is seen in a plethora of ways, many ways. It's seen in many ways. Notice these, friends. It is associated with the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 and verse 42. It is closely connected with helping those in need, Hebrews 13, 16. It is joined to the sufferings of Christ, Philippians 3 and verse number 10. You remember what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You think about having fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Christ, are you saying, or Paul, are you saying that the sufferings that Christ went through, I should have a desire to have a joint participation in that? Yes. Wow. Hold on, Christ, you went through a lot. Yes. And you can handle it too, because I can give you the power through my word to do so. Great fellowship. We must consider singing, Acts 16. The Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 16. That's a very interesting verse right there. Do we know that the communion of the Lord is the fellowship of the Lord? Giving, 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 13, you remember Paul, as he was talking to the Corinthian brethren, he said that I'm going to send someone for the fellowship, for the fellowship, the joint participation, the collection, the giving, the gospel message, Ephesians 3 and verse number 9, the fellowship of the mystery, Jew and Gentile being in one body, those who preach the same gospel, Galatians 2 and verse number 9, Paul, as he was talking to Peter, it was Peter and those Jews who realized that Paul and Barnabas was preaching the same gospel. And he said that they have given us the right hand, the fellowship. Right hand of fellowship. Brian and I are in fellowship with one another because we preach the same gospel. If Brian did not preach the same gospel, I could not make him my right-hand man. But because he preaches the same gospel, we are in fellowship. This is why when we sit down with one another and we're talking the scriptures, we don't have disagreement because we are of the same mind, of the same judgment. We are those of a like precious faith. Why? Because of the gospel. Our relationship with God. So we have to consider these things. That's how the Bible talks about fellowship. Joint participation. We're in this together as the Bible is giving us this panoramic picture, if you will, of what's going on as it relates to fellowship. But there's an opposite side to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship with light and darkness? Friends, there is no fellowship. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't go to sleep on me. Think about this. When we consider fellowship, we're talking about joint participation. We're talking about social intercourse. We're talking about intimacy. And that's why those who are friends with God should not be friends with the world. Why? Those who are friends with the world make themselves enemies with God. Fellowship. So when it comes to God, all fellowship, friends, all fellowship with God demands accountability. All of it. Why? Because God has nothing to do with darkness. And since that's the case, we can say, thank God that he has nothing to do with darkness. Therefore, when I go to God, I can trust every word that he has to say, for he'll never lead me into the darkness. Psalm 119:105, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He always leads into the light. So this is the beauty of fellowship, but it requires us knowing a standard. 2 points for us to consider. Number one, we are our brother's keeper. We are in this together. I'm so glad that we can't choose our brethren. We couldn't choose our parents. We couldn't choose, I could not have chosen to come into this world with a twin sister. You know, if I'd have thought about it and if I didn't like her, what you doing in here with me? Get out of here. You're taking up my space. You know, I was born two minutes before she was, but she took up all of my space. I could not say that in the womb. Hold on. Those of us who are in Christ, we can't choose our brethren. We're all brethren because of the blood of Christ. Therefore, we ought to do our best to be our brother's keeper. To put each other in a position to succeed spiritually, emotionally, financially, to be people of holiness, to be people who walk according to the Spirit's teaching. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16 through verse 23. And friends, this is why it's important, not just to fellowship right after services, which is good, and we need to do this. And I love the way that this congregation fellowships with one another. It's a beautiful thing. But to take it outside of the walls and invite people to your homes. And not just talk about things that are shallow, but let's talk about things that will help us to grow closer to the Lord. How to rear my children. What happens when I have a wayward child? How do I treat a child that is doing very well, but I don't want to give them too much to cause them to the point where they become spoiled? How about family problems as it relates to me and my spouse? How do I deal with those things? I have problems on my job. I'm really trying to be a Christian, but it's really, my employer is making it really hard for me. How do I handle those things? Fellowship. We can talk about those things. The older teaching the younger. What passages should they go to? Galatians 5 verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Make sure your lifestyle is according to the Spirit's teaching, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Drop down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know what that phrase, against such there is no law, mean? Meaning you can do it as much as you want to. Clint, you can love your wife as much as you want to, and she can't do nothing about it. Ain't that beautiful? I can love Nate as much as I want to. You know what he can do? He can't do nothing about it. But we can't have these without the Word. And sometimes we need our brethren to remind us to walk according to the teachings of God. And one thing I do know about that wolf, and we'll talk about him in a second here, but he loves those isolated sheep. He loves those sheep that are by themselves, that get away from the flock, that stay away from the services, that stay away from the fellowship. He loves those type of sheep. Why? He can attack them. He can cause them to lose focus and even devour them. Friends, God wants us to be a people who are walking according to the teachings. Drop down to verse number 1 of chapter 6. And the reason why we read those passages, because these are the ones who are qualified to correct those who are walking astray. Look at this. Look at the passage for his. You know, it's amazing. I spent 20 years working on cars, but you don't want me performing knee surgery. I will mess your knees up. Now, I got all the tools. I got something that'll cut you open. I even got some pliers, and I got some dykes that'll cut your ligaments and all of that. But once I get in there, Nate, I don't know what to do once I'm in there. God has the same principle. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, hold on, who's the spiritual? Galatians 5, verse 16, and also verse 22 and 23. He's the spiritual one. Everybody is not in the position, yea, qualified, to correct someone. That's contextual. To take that out of context, we'll make it a pretext and make it false doctrine. Restore such a one, meaning mend the broken bones, set it in place. But notice the attitude, the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, great fellowship. I believe that's the accountability right there. That's the accountability. I see my brother who is walking in sin. I'm being spiritual. I'm walking according to the Spirit's teaching. I'm striving to do the will of God. And I see my brother, I'm going to handle him with kid gloves so I can mend him back to God. I can mend him back. I can help him to be that man or that woman of God that he or she desires to be. I know for a fact that everyone who obeyed the gospel at one time went in there wanting to go to heaven. But something got them off track. I suggest that the Bible teaches that when we see people like this, that we do our level best to say, how can I help you stay on track or get back on track? I see that you're off. Be humble and accept the chastisement. Except the accountability. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Go back and just look at that. But we notice that those who are living those type of lifestyles in that list, the Bible teaches us don't even eat with those brethren. Hold on, that's accountability. God is saying, Paul is saying by inspiration, that if a person is in fellowship with God, and a person is not in fellowship with God, God says, don't even sit down and eat with them. That's God saying that. And we live in a culture now where people say, well, that's just downright mean. Don't call God mean. God wants what's best for us. And everything that God does is what's best for us as the people of God. He said, don't even eat with them. But then notice 1 Peter chapter 5. You go there and I'll catch up with you in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 5. There is a reason why God wants us to be in fellowship with Him and in fellowship with one another. He wants us to be holy. be holy even as I am holy. He wants us to be a royal priesthood, as we saw on this morning. He wants us to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. He wants us to be a people who pursue peace and pursue holiness. Without such, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. There's no way for us to be in fellowship with God and out of fellowship with man. There's no way for us to be out of fellowship with man and in fellowship with God. We have to be in fellowship with God, and when we're in fellowship with God, then God teaches us who to be in fellowship with as it relates to man. But this includes our reasoning and how God wants us to be just like His Son and have the proper attitudes. Friends, I say this in love. I haven't been here long enough to hate none of y'all yet. But I say this in love. God wants us to be a people who hold one another accountable, and we shouldn't get mad at each other when that takes place. As a matter of fact, it is the greatest demonstration of love to see my brother or see my sister go down a track, go down a road, go down a way that is not conducive to their spiritual life is a sure sign of hatred. But when I love you, I correct you. When you love me, you correct me. So God wants this to be an environment for spiritual growth. No complaining. Friends, y'all hear me, no complaining. That's hard. I've been working on that. You know what you need to do sometime when you want to complain? Just zip it up. All right, she didn't cook today. But she didn't cook yesterday either, Mike. Nor the day before that. All right, calm down. Go to the store. Get one of those things you could pop into the microwave and cook. Okay?
It'll be okay.
Well, he keeps leaving his socks on the bed. All right. Calm down. You know what God is teaching us? Discipline. How about the church? Sometimes it's like that. We complain in the church. Let's not complain. Philippians 2:14 is still in the Bible, friends. When we consider the children of Israel, they did not make it into the promised land because of complaining. Unbelief. We don't want that. We want to go to heaven. And we don't want complaining to keep us out. And what complaining is, it is a discontent for the one who takes care of us, God. Bible teaches us to do all things without murmuring and complaining. That's Philippians 2:14. Bible teaches us not to be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse number 11. Bible teaches us in Romans 12 and verse 10 to be brotherly. What, hold on. We're talking about fellowship. Yes, we're talking about accountability. Yes. Friends, being brotherly requires discipline. It requires us to look within ourselves and ask ourselves, am I looking out for the needs of my brother or my sister? I was interested in that. Here, the word brotherly in Romans 12 and verse number 10 has this to say, and this is the definition of it. I'm not making this up. It means to be warm, friendly, caring, and concerned. That's an interesting concept. Hold on, that's a novel idea. Christians ought to be those things? Yes. We ought to be a people who are warm and friendly and caring and concerned. Therefore, when we invite people over to the house for fellowship, we ought to do just that. We are the people of God. We are the ones who are striving to not be like the world. There are some mean people online, y'all. I don't see how people fellowship with people online that are so mean and so racy. And when I say that, meaning that they're nasty. They're immodest. They speak foul language. It is just nasty out there. I was talking to Brother Dennis a couple of years ago. He probably don't even remember this conversation. But he said, Mike, this is a mean world. You know what? Ever since you said that, I remember it like it was yesterday. And he's right. Which means, friends, that we ought to be fellowshipping with those in the church who are not mean, who are holy, who are striving to keep one another accountable. Why? Because we want to go to heaven. We want to be with God. And we don't want to be isolated so Satan, that roaring lion, can snatch us away. Which brings us to 1 Peter chapter 5. As I close, friends, there is great benefit in spending time with one another. And we need one another. And I want to encourage you, young families, I know life is tough and I know you're busy, but I guarantee you, friends, if you would make time now on Friday nights, Saturdays, if you make time now, you will see the benefits of it. I know it's tiresome. I know working with kids and working with hard-headed husbands like myself, I know it's tough. Go like this, Nate. It gets tough, but it's worth it. It's worth every minute of it. So whatever you need to do to fellowship with one another, because there's a goal, constant, eternal fellowship with God. And we're going to be like those 24 elders who cast their crowns off. And they was worshiping Almighty God. Let me leave you with these. Fellowshipping with God's people, listen to this, is fun for those who are in fellowship with God. It is not enough to have good fun, but not be godly. What do we learn in fellowship? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. We learn submission. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 5, we learn submission. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the older. In verse number 6, well, the latter part of verse number 5, we learn the sovereign's desires. We learn God's desires. Notice the latter part. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God has desires for us. And God doesn't want us to be a proud people. And one thing I do know, that when you're in fellowship with good brethren, they don't mind saying, Mike, you need to look at that. Mike, you need to settle down some. Mike, calm down. You know, you need to humble yourself. You know what? That's real good. Glory to God with that. Honesty, sincerity, truth. Look at verse 6. We shape our will. What is our will? What should it be? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Look at verse number 7. We encourage one another to rely upon God. Verse number 7. Casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I'm reminded of some of the fellowships that we had. And you have a brother or a sister who would confess sin. And we would stop right then and pray for that brother or sister. And they would come to the fellowship on a Friday night, Evelyn, heavy-hearted, and they'll leave smiling and rejoicing and say, you know what, it was good for me to be here tonight. I don't understand why we don't run to those things. Maybe we just need to be reminded, you know what, we do need to do that. We do need to spend time with one another. Why? Because of verse number 8. Where we remind one another of spiritual awareness. Be sober. Be vigilant. This is the purpose of fellowship. That we may be aware of what's going on around us. Look at the latter part of verse number 8. Where we remind one another of our enemy. It's not each other. We don't fight with flesh and blood. But our enemy is our adversary, the devil, who is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But verse 9 is my favorite verse in this whole context. Sometimes we think we're in this all by ourselves. And the Bible clearly teaches us that we're not. And it's when we go to these fellowships and we are interacting with one another and we get to talking. And we say, you going through that too? Yep, I am. You know what? We ought to pray for one another, keep one another accountable, keep each other encouraged. Notice verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter, what are you saying? You're not going through this by yourself. And because you're not going through this by yourself, hang in there. I want to encourage our brethren. You don't have to wait for us. You don't have to wait for leadership. You call up your brothers and sisters. You say, you come over to the house this Friday. Bring your Bibles. And make sure you bring your Bibles. We're going to open up the scriptures and we're going to talk about the scriptures. We're going to encourage one another. Why? Because that's where God's wisdom is. That's where we can learn to make good decisions and teach our children that it's okay to have Christian friends and family over, that we just don't see them at the building, but we see them even on other days. I encourage you to do so. You will benefit from it. As a matter of fact, I know you will benefit from it, and your life will be blessed. So whatever you need to do to consider these thoughts, consider them. Older members, if you can invite some of the younger members over, and when you invite them over, crack open the Bible. Don't talk about the problems in the church. Talk about the Bible and encourage them in the scriptures, because that's where the strength is. That's where the encouragement is, and that's where the fortitude is to hang in there and to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. That's where it is. It's in the Word. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want to be part of this fellowship, the fellowship that is only in Christ Jesus, only in the Church of Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Live faithful, even to the point of death, and have fellowship with God throughout eternity. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you're struggling in your fellowship. You want fellowship. Well, why don't you pull one of the brothers or the sisters aside and say, hey, when can we get together and talk Bible? So I can be encouraged and you can be encouraged as well, as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.